Austria is a long way from Harlem, but when pianist Joe Zawinul landed stateside in 1959, he was already a devotee of African-American music. By the mid-60s, Zawinul had earned a reputation for enhancing the sounds of some of the biggest names in jazz. More than that, he wrote a few soulful tunes of his own. By the 70s, Joe Zawinul had begun to push the boundaries of jazz by adding electric instruments. He and his famous partner, Wayne Shorter, helped usher in the era of jazz fusion with their supergroup, Weather Report.
We were a rock and roll act with some different kind of music. We had a big show. We had lasers. We had three screens. It was special because Wayne had his own music. I had my own music. We were having fun. It was not that we thought we'd be making all kind of impact and that we just wanted to play different music than anybody else, using electronic instruments as another way of creating new instruments rather than being electronic for commercial purposes. Well, until Heavy Weather, we really didn't make any money. Heavy Weather was just a big success because of Birdland and the remark you made and the Wayne songs in there. But it's always changing because we made up our minds that every record we made will be different from the one before. And that's what we were successful in doing for 15 years. It's been over since 1983 or 84, and we're still here. A lot of people love that music. A lot of musicians were turned on to it. And actually, our stock is growing.
Tell us how you made the jump from Austria, from Vienna, Austria, to jazz, and where you ultimately became, musically speaking.
Well, you know, I'm a product of the monarchy. My grandmama is a Hungarian gypsy. My grandfather comes from Bohemia and Moravia. So it's Austria was always mixed with a lot of Slavic, Turkish, all kind of. So our music culture, it is kind of underrated. We have a very rich music culture, cosmopolitan. So the changeover was a very natural one. And I grew up during Hitler's time, and I was in the school of the conservatorium. The Vienna Conservatorium was in 1944 placed into a place which is now in the Czech Republic, and in order to save the talented musicians, and I was chosen to be one of them. Jazz music was forbidden in the Third Reich. But one day, one guy, a clarinet student, a very good clarinet student, and he said, "I need to play Honeysuckle Rose." So that's the first time I said, "What the hell is this?" But this particular day was my life change. Because in the moment I heard that, I said, "This is what I want to do." Wow. And I asked him what that is. And he said, "This is called jazz." I never knew that there was a word like that.
That was the first time.
And I said, "How you spell it?" And when he spelled it, at me with a 12-year-old ego mentality, thinking I'm a great musician because I was one of the best students, I said, "Man, this is me."
That's a great
this
story.
This is my name right
wow,
there.
That's a great story.
You know, and from that moment on, the war was over. The war was over in May 45, and there was a radio station from the Americans in Vienna, and the program was called Strictly Solid, and I could relate to it very good. I had perfect pitch, so that allowed me to write things down.
That you heard off the radio.
What I heard off the radio. And really? So I learned how to play jazz music.
Let's move forward and talk about how you interacted with some other greats. I know that Maynard Ferguson was someone you spent time with. I know you played with Dinah Washington and on through Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis and Wayne Shorter.
I was lucky. You know, I was lucky. I came to America. I was prepared. Went and took the bus to New York. and auditioned live at the Apollo Theater.
Really?
With Maynard Ferguson, and got the gig.
No kidding. What was that? What did that feel like?
I was scared to death.
I bet you were.
You know what I mean? And the funny thing was...
Well, had you ever been around that many black folks before then?
Well, I played with a lot of black people already in Europe.
Okay. But so you weren't scared of that?
I know.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the first day I was in New York, I went to the Apollo Theater, and I couldn't get in. I didn't have money to get in. I had money, but so little when I came. I came in from 126th Street with the other black kids, you know. I was ready to do it. I have no problem with communicating with people, you know what I mean?
I understand. Going back to Cannonball, for example, I know that you wrote Mercy, 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 and he credits you for that at the beginning of that song.
Of course.
And you wrote a country preacher,
yeah.
Jesse Jackson. Now, from Vienna, Austria to Chicago and Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, well, I worked for the breadbasket, you know, Operation Breadbasket, and we did a lot of volunteer work to keep people happy. You know,
so this is a tribute, my thing, tribute to Jesse, so to speak, huh?
Sure, yes.
Yeah? I want you to talk a little bit about Miles, about the fact that you only recorded or you only performed with him live one time.
One time. But I made a lot of records. I made 5 or 6
records. Well, I know you made a lot of records, but just that one time.
Yeah, one time. Well, I had a gig, you know. I had a... the gig with Cannonball, I was almost 10 years there, and Miles wanted to hire me, and I was not ready anymore for being a sideman. I wanted to check out what can I do.
You want to be the
with
lead
my
man.
Own. The lead not man. That I want to be the lead man. That was not my point. What can I do to interpret my music as I want to interpret? Not being still in Cannonball's band. I wrote a lot of music. More than 50 songs were recorded.
A lot of big music.
Yes, and but it still was Cannonball's and Ned's concept of interpreting this music. I would have done it differently, you see. Even on Miles' records, I would have done it a little different, and I wanted to see where I was to interpret my music the way I like it. And I made this like record for Atlantic. I had a good response. Then Miles, I wrote In a Silent Way for Miles. And
Bitches, and great, Bitches, great songs that
and,
you
know. Well, I have a few of them.
That was pianist-composer Joe Zawinul. At the age of 75, he is still going strong with a new record, Brown Street. I'm going to send you out today with a track from that album. Here's Procession.